Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers! Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondell.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Gordon again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
An unrivaled fan base. The best college sports town in the world. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Bringing in our number two of the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented to you by our friends over at Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies, cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, getting ahead of myself, you know what to do, Riley.
And that's Crush of Coors Light.
Sorry. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I was zoned out.
You are good. Head spinning today. We scored.
Looking at too many defensive stats, getting prepared for red hot ice cold.
And we will kick it to that now. This is the best and worst of today's 21-7 loss, but a valiant effort from Wisconsin. This is our segment we like to call Red Hot Ice Cold.
Who was scorching?
Got to keep it himself. Another rushing touchdown for Wisconsin. Pouring it on in Piscataway.
Who froze up?
Locked from his end zone. It's picked off! Jalen Reed!
It's time to start adding Hunter Simmons interceptions.
I was going to say, I miss Brayton Locke.
It's time to play Red Hot, Ice Cold on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
He's got a fever.
I'd be red hot if we somehow re-landed Brayden Locke for a nice little stint, if we don't want to go with the Carter Smith experiment.
Yeah, no, I'm still good with Brayden Locke. I was all in on Locktober.
That was fun.
That 5-2, man, that feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Badgers were 5-2. Locktober was in full swing.
Last Big Ten win was with him.
Yep. That's insane.
That's
a terrible thought.
That hurts
Northwestern.
To say out loud. Yeah.
Last time we had a 100-yard rusher, too.
We were almost
23-3 win at Northwestern, Tawie Walker. It's been 13 games now.
Cincinnati now, right?
Yep.
Tawie Walker.
Yeah. Gideon Atuka got close today. He got very close.
85 yards. All right, red hot. I'll kick us off. Corey Sparks, Riley Yauch here with you in the Everlight Solar Studios on 100.5 ESPN Madison and ESPN Madison and Milwaukee's YouTube channels. Red hot. This is actually weird that I'm starting with this because Wisconsin put a good product out on the football field today. Relative to last performances.
Yes.
Oregon jerseys on Grateful Dead night were sick. It was like the clipping mask, green with the texture. I thought the fans really got into it. They took the tarps off at the end, which you and I have about the same feelings on that. You didn't really earn that, but whatever.
No. You're winning. You don't need to go tarps. I love
supposed
that.
To win. Storm
love
the field while you're
tarps
at it.
Off is a movement. Right now it's really fun, but you're winning. Just enjoy the good football team you have.
But those jerseys were sick.
They were.
Effort for Wisconsin was remarkable. That needs to be the common denominator today. This team stuck with the number six team in the country. Someone who's in that college football playoff landscape right now, a few weeks out from it. And Wisconsin literally stuck with them every step of the way. It's all about the last quarter there. And then the pick from Hunter Simmons was insult to injury. Effort was good. Effort was very good today.
Yes.
Red hot.
Totally agree. For my red hot today, I'm going, and you can take this both ways, in-state defenders, specifically the defensive players on the field, but also maybe if you're a defender, that Luke Fickell should do more in-state recruiting.
Yes.
Let's take a look. You have Mason Posa led the defense in tackles,
awesome.
13 solo. He's from Arizona. Fantastic wrestler they mentioned on the halftime show today. Uh-huh. But the next three defenders, the next three leaders of this defense today, Matt Young, the former Nina Rocket transfer this past season. He had 10 tackles, 4 solo. Then after that, you got Cooper Catalano, whose name was mispronounced several times today by Tim Brando.
Took him until like the third quarter, and then we finally got
was,
it. What were they saying? Catalano?
Catalano.
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 And he's also doing a foghorn leg. Tim Brando might be my ice cold. We'll get to that in a bit. Cooper Catalano, 8 tackles, 3 solo, had a pass breakup and a QB hurry. He was fantastic. Germantown, Wisconsin native. And then finally, right after him, you have Big Ben Barton from Stratford, a former Tiger. He had 8 tackles, 3 solo, a sack, and a tackle for loss. So the in-state fellas on the defense were awesome today. You love to see the Wisconsin products balling out.
Posa was flying around. We mentioned
Posa
in the first
segment. Awesome as well.
The pass deflection in the backfield. There were a couple tip drill plays where I felt like a turnover was brewing. And again, we talk about that uh-oh play, or how do you pull off the shock factor against a team that is levels above you from a talent perspective. You usually want to generate a turnover or two. Ice cold. I'm going to say, I hope this isn't stealing yours. If it is, I apologize. We could share it. Spotting the ball in the first half. I specifically have 11:36 left in the second quarter. The third down run for Atuka that was called fourth and inches when he clearly stretched across the offensive line. I can remember every bit of it without writing it down. He needed to get to the 42.5. The ball was stretched pretty much to the 42. They marked him at the 43.5, literally where his foot ankle was on the end of the play. Not only that, the initial call was fourth and inches. Luke Fickell had to burn a timeout because they didn't go upstairs with it. It was inconclusive, apparently. Let's just roll with it. He was short of a line to gain. Had to burn a challenge, and they upheld it. I'm not the ref guy. I'm not the person who usually goes, oh my gosh, we got robbed. And I don't think that changes the trajectory of who wins this game, but that was awful. Awful.
Yeah. And it was clear as day. He lunges fully extend. He was parallel with the ground. Knee does not touch. Like, the first thing to touch, I think, was his elbow with the football in it, probably at the 41.
What angle did
he looked
see?
A full yard past the line to gain, and they didn't give it to him. Spotting the ball was a real challenge. And then they wanted to review getting Atuka barely getting out of the end zone. Did he get out of the end zone? Yes. Was it very close? Yes. Did it deserve a review? Probably. But they don't want to send his first run for a first down up to the booth.
No.
But then, oh, maybe he got tackled in the end zone for a safety. Let's review that. Let's make sure. There was some interesting officiating today.
There was a screen pass where there was clear holding. I wish I could nail down exactly what it was. I think it was literally the first play from scrimmage in the second half that ended up being a huge pop pass for like 40, 50 yards, and that happened because of that. What was your ice cold today, sir?
My ice cold. The refereeing was certainly something to behold. Mm-hmm. The first run of the second half, that blatant holding call against Mason Reiger was terrible. Mm-hmm. That pissed me off. But I'm going to go with Tim Brando. Tim Brando mispronouncing names, doing foghorn, leghorn impressions, which normally I'm a fan of.
So random,
but it was just so odd. His call today, it was just not my favorite. Let's just say that. And I think the biggest thing from Tim Brando, I can't believe I almost forgot this. He announces in the first quarter, oh yeah, Badgers running back Dylan Jones is out for the season. Out for the season. And then everyone obviously is freaking out, like, oh my gosh, Dylan
I must have missed this.
Yeah, when was this reported? This, no one told us this. So Jake Kokorowski, fantastic reporter, goes and asks a Wisconsin official, is this true? Is Dylan Jones out for the year? And they respond, no, we never announced that he was out for the year. He's not out for the season. And that's just horrendous journalism, horrendous broadcasting. I will say, bad journalism on my part. Thank you, Evil Badger 72, for correcting me. I said Mason Post was from Arizona. He's actually from New Mexico.
Okay, sure.
New Mexico wrestling state champ. So thank you, Evil Badger. Bad journalism on me. And bad journalism by Tim Brando. Like, you can't just be making those
that is announcements. A bold claim.
And then calling out Brad Nortman, not by name.
That was funny.
In the second quarter, that he had some fascinating...
Podcasters was the term they used, right?
Yes, podcasters.
Got it.
Yes, but it seems...
It is, I guess it is in the form of a podcast now. It's in the past.
Yep.
It was a live show at the time.
Kyle Breston Nortman, go back and listen on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Airs every weekday here in Madison from 2 to 4 weekdays, and in Milwaukee... 2 to 5.
Which, by the way, they did a little wager in sync with how many points the Badgers scored. I'm going to try and remember all of them. I know for a fact that Brad Nortman's end of the deal on Kyle Breston Nortman was for every point the Badgers scored today, which was 7, he had to donate $1 to Wisconsin's NIL fund. which is going to be a $7 check with Brad Nortman, former punter's name, written on it.
The running tally at 7 right now. Yeah. For Brad Nortman. Jim Rutledge actually also had a little, not a wager per se, but sort of he posed a question, pondering Wisconsin. I can't remember. I believe it was 2013 when they beat Indiana 83-20.
I saw this.
Will, starting with this game against Oregon, will the Badgers score 83 points the rest of the season? They are now down to 75 points to score in the last 4 games of the season now after putting up a touchdown today. With that performance, even if they with a win against Minnesota to end the season, I don't see 75 points in the next 4 games.
It would take a lot. You have to change what's going on under center or out of shotgun or whatever you're doing with your quarterback. Our amazing producer, Owen Dimple, gave me the full context. So for Kyle Bruss and Nortman, again, weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. on ESPN Madison and across ESPN Wisconsin. Strofe, Alex Strofe, their producer, has to do 70 seconds of planking on camera. Brad's donation of $7 to the NIL fund. Kyle, it was a half mile for the whole week, so he does get to stretch it out per point. He's got to log 3.5 miles. And that's Ben insane. Has to wear, Ben Bruss has to wear 7 layers of clothing.
Oh, that Ben
additional
took
clothing. Additional clothing, yeah.
On what, for one day?
Yeah, I think for the entirety of the show.
Oh, man.
If they didn't score, they had to fast until 5 p.m.
Okay. Wow.
So that didn't happen.
Okay.
They do get to eat in the morning.
But man, Ben, I think, got the worst of that.
What? Yeah, what's the strat? Do you wear like multiple pairs of pants? I think the 7 shirts, I'm going to start like feeling a little...
Yeah, lots
like my
of,
neck's going to get uncomfortable.
Yeah, multiple pairs of underwear, I think. Maybe like a pair of leggings.
2 socks.
Yes.
2 extra socks.
A couple extra pair of socks. Maybe a hat. Okay, so every piece of clothing counts.
Okay.
Thank you, Owen. So, okay, so that's not as bad.
Yeah.
Socks, shoes, let's see. By that metric, then I have 1, 2, 3, 4 layers on right now.
Yeah.
Throw an extra 3 on, throw a hat, something like that. That's doable.
It's getting chilly out, too.
But I like these wagers. Should we start wagering?
We could.
On Badgers points as well.
We could do the Bucky push-up thing every time.
Yeah, every time. Yeah, we have to do 7 push-ups or maybe, like, multiply it by, like, 3 to make it a little harder.
And then take it to social media. We'll sit on this. We have a bye week to think
exactly.
about it,
too. Exactly. I think this is a great
brainstorming
question.
Session loading.
Consider in the bye week, and we go from there.
What do you want to see us do? 844-770-3776.
Give us some punishment ideas.
Pocket text line. Got to find a way to stay invested in the season. Wisconsin made it a lot easier to do that today because they did keep it closer with Oregon. They did score 21-7. It was a 0-0 ball game, by the way, with just under 2 minutes to go in the first half. Pizza Hut delivers a win every single time. They go undefeated. They're going 12-0 by the end of the year with the big dinner box, just $19.99. That's 2 medium, 1 topping pizzas, 8 boneless wings, and 5 breadsticks. Feed the whole team for 1 unbeatable price. Find the nearest location or order online at pizzahut.com. Feed the good times only from the Hut. When we come back, we have our drive of the game presented to you by our friends over at Chalmers Jewelers. We will take a look at the Metro Ford of Madison College football scoreboard down the road as well. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Welcome back to ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Corey Sparks, Riley Alk, hanging out here with you after the 21-7 loss to Oregon, who improves to 7-1. Wisconsin falling to 2-6. The Badgers get a bye before going up against Washington at home, the final third of the season on the horizon. Winners go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, the casino with the highest payouts in the area. Go be a winner at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. They're open right now and stay open until 2 a.m. on a Monday. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. More spins, more wins, more fun. And if you're going to grab certain aspects of this game and call them a win, I think one of the most appropriate ones from today is the drive of the game. And that would be brought to you by our friends.
The corner, and the Badgers touchdown answers quickly.
On ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
The Badgers punctuating. And pulling away.
The drive of the game is brought to you by Chalmers Jewelers, helping guys score for more than 25 years.
I wouldn't have done it justice, but I was like, I can try and do big voice here.
Big voice, Corey.
Probably would need a little editing, but the drive of the game is brought to you by our friends over at Chalmers Jewelers. We're probably going to be in lockstep on this one. The first touchdown in a while feels like it deserves this award.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. Oh, this tape stuck to the floor.
The
we got to bring the banner back. We scored a touchdown. What a drive. What a moment for Wisconsin football this year. It's really sad that we're at this point, but
we got to drive it again.
That's where we're at. We got to hang a banner for this. We got to appreciate this greatness when we see it.
It wasn't long ago, Riley, that we didn't have many options, and I gave you the drive of the game because you went to Tuscaloosa to watch the away game that Wisconsin scored in that one, at least.
Yeah, it is nice actually having, like, one drive. It was actually
clear-cut.
So uplifting and brought me so much happiness to see the Badgers score a touchdown. Yeah. That really, really brightened my mood until it was ruined. Like, 5 minutes later, but whatever.
The details on your drive of the game, 12 plays, 78 yards, 6:14 off the clock in the later stages of this game. It was a 2-yard passing touchdown from Hunter Simmons to Lance Mason. Fun fact, this was in the fourth quarter, by the way, both of Hunter Simmons' passing touchdowns in his Wisconsin career have been to Lance Mason.
Wow.
And both have been in the fourth quarter. So, fourth quarter Hunter.
Yeah. Shout out Hunter. That's Hunter Simmons Lance Mason connection. It's just different. And yeah, I mean, arguably though, I think going back to the refs briefly, Eugene Hilton Jr. very easily could have gotten credit for that touchdown.
Yeah.
It looked like he had landed on top of the Oregon defender, brought into the end zone, but hey, they scored. They scored a touchdown, so I'm not picky. Not picky.
I was happy with that.
Eugene Hilton Jr., another young talent on this team, though.
Yeah.
Pickle guy.
Had to come back and catch that ball, too. It was underthrown, so good adjustment by him. Mid-route to go, all right, I gotta come back and get this thing. I thought he was in because, he rolled over the defender, and then it was whether or not I think his elbow was down, and they said it was, and I was like, oh, boy. Don't let the reason we don't score a touchdown here be because we're an inch short.
Oh, my gosh.
I could feel that brewing.
Yeah, and then when Simmons fumbled the snap.
And we lost a yard.
The next play was like, oh, my gosh.
Like we just
we're really going to blow this. We're never going to score again. And thankfully, though, next play, great. Good call by Jeff Grimes. Got the job done.
Talking about the quarterback situation, I have already made the proposal, especially with the eligibility requirements implying that Carter Smith, if he were to play in the next four games, still gets his 4 years. It's more than four games since 2018 in Division I NCAA that you have burned an eligibility year. So if Carter Smith played five or six, so be it. Jason Wilde and Tausch, weekdays from 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. I had a good comment when we were talking about the Hunter Simmons quarterback situation for Wisconsin, whether or not to bring in Carter Smith. I took the quote, Wisconsin quarterbacks have been an absolute joke for the last three seasons, and said this, Hunter Simmons started three games at Southern Illinois last year. Isn't this on the coaching staff for not having more capable quarterbacks after losing their NIL-paid, hand-picked starters all three of Fickell's years? And I think this is interesting because effectively, with what's been happening to Wisconsin's quarterback, one, your QB3 is really your QB2 as of late. You're going to have to use them at some point, or they're going to be your next option if option B goes wrong, which has been more likely than not as of late.
Yeah. I love where Jason's getting at here, and I appreciate that he listens to the show. Mm-hmm. But I think if you want to go at Luke Fickell's recruiting, like one of the most damning things about Luke Fickell's recruiting has been the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Luke Fickell has not shown the ability to properly recruit the quarterback position. I could name a solid player, I think, at just about every other position that Luke Fickell has brought in.
Yeah.
But we haven't had the opportunity to see starting quarterbacks play that well. Tanner Mordecai played the longest, and Jason Wilde brought him up in a response. He clearly has some skill, and we saw that really. Unfortunately, though, we didn't really see that until the ReliaQuest Bowl against LSU.
He put on a show.
Exactly. He looked awesome in the ReliaQuest Bowl, but in the regular season, even before he was hurt, he didn't light up anything. He didn't look fantastic. Then he got hurt against Iowa. Yeah. And then, granted, Tanner Mordecai is a tough SOB because he tried to play through a broken hand as a quarterback. I cannot imagine that pain. But Tanner Mordecai, probably the best of the bunch. Van Dyke tears his ACL against Alabama. We don't see or hear from him at all the rest of the year. Leaves. Billy Edwards Jr. really thought this was going to be the first successful quarterback with Luke Fickell. He hurts his knee and then tries to come back probably too early, gets hurt again, and now we're probably not going to see him the rest of the year. So,
yeah.
Who is the backup then? Braden Locke for two seasons, and this year, Danny O'Neill and Hunter Simmons. Those three have not been Big Ten caliber quarterbacks. No. And that does come down to coaching and talent evaluation. And they haven't been able to find either a guy who fits the system. Braden Locke did not fit Phil Longo's air raid system whatsoever. He was too small, and he couldn't make the throws necessary to run that quarterback-based system. Like, you need a very good, strong, tall, archetypical quarterback to run a successful air raid offense.
Mm-hmm.
And then this season, Jeff Grimes, which seems like a much more quarterback-friendly offense, Danny O'Neill makes too many mental mistakes, can't properly make decisions. He didn't make good decisions. He got panicked, went under duress too often. He
scurried a lot.
And then Hunter Simmons just doesn't have the talent. He doesn't have it. He can't make the throws. He started three games. Like Jason said, he started three games at SIU.
Yeah.
This guy's not a Big Ten quarterback. He's not a Power Four quarterback,
no.
Respectfully. So that comes back to Fickell, to Grimes. You have to be able to find the proper person to man the most important position on your team.
And you need multiple.
Yes.
Especially with what's been happening with the starting quarterback the last 3 years.
Yes. And Fickell, I think he thought he addressed that this season.
I thought he did in the offseason. I was like, oh.
San Diego State University started all 12 games. He has experience. He's bringing this guy in specifically. So in case Billy Edwards Jr. goes down, he'll step in and he'll be just fine. And we thought that is what was going to happen, especially after that Middle Tennessee game and his relief against Miami of Ohio, where he really showed that confidence and the moxie and had the energy necessary. But then really once things started going wrong for Danny, once defenses started throwing different looks at him, he couldn't hack it.
Right.
So what is missing is my question. When Luke Fickell is evaluating quarterback talent, what is he not seeing
here?
Like,
where's the disconnect?
What isn't working? What isn't making sense? How has he whiffed so horribly on all of these backup quarterbacks? And I mean, maybe it's somehow the starters. He's found the most injury-prone starters of all time.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're running teams out of the gym either.
No.
We haven't seen a quarterback as good as Bart Houston under Luke Fickell. We haven't seen a quarterback as good as Alex Hornibrook under Luke Fickell. As good as, even I had this thought today, we haven't seen a quarterback as good as Tanner McAvoy.
Yeah.
Under Gary Anderson, a converted safety.
That's crazy.
And that is on the coaching staff.
It's finding the right system for him. It's getting him comfortable. And it's, I mean, the first step, right, Riley? If you're going out and getting what we've done the last couple of years, essentially a fifth-year senior or a transfer portal quarterback who's going into his last year of eligibility, is that first step is identifying, is this guy going to be a good fit with what my OC, in this case Jeff Grimes, is doing? In the case before, Phil Longo is doing. And the answer has been a resounding no. These guys don't fit. O'Neill, I think, is the biggest reflection of Jason's point. I think when you get down to QB3, yes, if you want to say it's technically the backup with how much the real starter, the QB1, has been going down, sure. But Danny O'Neill was the, hey, if Billy Edwards Jr. goes down, this guy is in. And this guy started all 12 games last year, and he was honorable mention all Mountain West. He is the first answer. And we found out pretty quickly, once they started playing Power 4 football, he should not have been the first backup plan for a situation that more often than not the last 2 years has had to hand the baton over involuntarily. First Mordecai and then Van Dyke. I think O'Neill is the real unfortunate reflection of that, is this was your first resort and he was not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's simply it.
Yeah, and I think it's most frustrating when you look at all the examples of it succeeding elsewhere. Bo Prabula last year, the most recent example of it working really well. It comes in against Wisconsin, plays fantastic, and now he's leading a top 25 Missouri team two, I think they lost to Vanderbilt today, so probably not making the college football playoff. Yeah. However,
contending.
Still, they're, I think they have a 10% chance now, but they were in the mix up until today. He's capable of leading that good of a squad in the SEC. It's possible, even in this NIL era. And then if you want to go back to other eras, I think it's more difficult in this era where you can't have quarterbacks sit for years underneath other guys and really learn the system, and it doesn't help when you don't have a consistent offensive system in place.
Right.
But my mind went back to Cardale Jones against Wisconsin, the Big Ten championship game. Comes in for an injured JT Barrett and just lights up the Badgers for 59 points. It seems to happen against the Badgers all the time successfully. Even today, you have Brock Thomas come in for the Ducks, and he doesn't do anything spectacular. He's not going to be the starter going forward.
Did his job, though.
He didn't look like a starting quarterback, but he looked like a serviceable backup who can bridge the gap.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin hasn't even had that, which if you're Jeff Grimes, if you're Luke Fickell, that needs to be remedied.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Brock Thomas, he didn't do much. Did his job. He went 4 for 4, 46 yards, a touchdown. They went pretty run-heavy once Brock Thomas was there, which that's what Wisconsin was doing anyway. They ran the ball 29 times. Hunter Simmons had to throw it 21 times. But, only completed 7 of those. You need competent quarterback play, even if you get into your QB2 and your QB3 in your depth chart.
Is part of it on Kenny Guyton. Too.
Could be.
Quarterback's coach. He was a quarterback at Ohio State. I don't know. Like, how deep does it go?
Where's the issue fall? Yeah.
Exactly. But Fickell, it's ultimately his decision. Mm-hmm. So it ultimately falls on him. But regardless, it's certainly a coaching staff and a talent evaluation issue that if Luke Fickell is able to keep his job until next year, he needs to fix because he's had 3 shots.
Yeah.
He's missed all 3. Fourth time better be the charm.
That's well put. You got to get your guys ready for war, and you have to have the right pieces in place to go to war and succeed.
Right commander.
Right? Exactly. You need a good commander.
The right chief. The leader.
We were celebrating when Wisconsin scored that touchdown, got our drive of the game today. You can celebrate as well with Celebrations Entertainment. Planning events has never been easier. They have complete event services for weddings, corporate events, nonprofit events, outdoor movies, casino nights, and much more fun. Visit CelebrationsEntertainment.com to get started today. Celebrations Entertainment, fun, memorable events. And when we come back, we have our Metro Ford of Madison College football scoreboard update, and we will put together some helmet stickers. I've got a couple. I was impressed today. Played up to Oregon, stuck in the fight, got punched at the beginning with that onside kick recovery by the Ducks. Never got a true kickoff or never got the true opportunity to receive a kickoff in the first or second half, and still stuck with this top 10, almost top 5 football team. College scoreboard update, helmet stickers coming up next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Oregon 21, Wisconsin 7. We head into a bye week again before Wisconsin plays Washington at home for what I'm hoping is the Carter Smith debut for this team.
That would rock.
Mixed feelings out there, but I think it'd be fun. Got a lot of potential, even if he doesn't put it all together right away. It is time, we know what happened in the Wisconsin game, to look around college football. It is the Metro Ford of Madison College Football Scoreboard Update. Metro Ford of Madison is Madison's trusted Ford dealer. Whether you need to purchase, finance, or service a new or pre-owned Ford, Metro Ford is the place to go. Visit Metro Ford of Madison on the east side today, or go to their website, metrofordofmadison.com, to see this month's specials and browse their amazing inventory. Riley, let's take a look around college football.
That we shall, Corey. Let's start in the greatest conference in the country, the Big Ten. Indiana, the second-ranked Hoosiers, handle business against UCLA, smoking them 56-6. Not even close. The Mendoza brothers, big winners in that one. Washington hanging a big number on Illinois, the 23rd-ranked Fighting Illini, fall to the Huskies by a score of 42-25, the Badgers have to play the Washington Huskies in just a couple of weeks post bye. I mean, it's hard to get excited about Wisconsin football this season, but that one in particular, might not have a ton of juice. Number 25, Michigan, able to get by in-state rival Michigan State, 31-20. Nebraska beats Northwestern, 28-21. Needed a touchdown late in that one to take care of the Wildcats. Rutgers, game-winning field goal today to beat the Purdue Boilermakers, 27-24. And my favorite Big Ten game of the day, the battle for the Floyd of Rosedale. I believe, the Floyd of Rosedale, yes. Iowa, the Hawkeyes, smash the Minnesota Golden Gophers, 41-3, not even close. That game was over. Remember the Wisconsin-Iowa game was over in the first quarter? That game also over in the first quarter. It's 24-0 heading into quarter number two, or 17-0. They made it 24-0 very quickly into quarter number two. An absolute beatdown. Love to see the Gophers just get it handed to them. I don't like seeing Iowa win, but if it's against Minnesota, I'll take it. That's it for the Big Ten. A quick run through the top 25. Georgia Tech beats Syracuse 41-16. They improved to 8-0 for the first time since 1966. Ole Miss beats Oklahoma 34-26. We talked about this earlier. Virginia barely scrapes by UNC on a failed two-point conversion attempt, winning 17-16. Memphis knocks off number 18 USF 34-31. Alabama hangs on out in Columbia, South Carolina, winning 29-22. Vanderbilt beats Mizzou 17-10. BYU comes back to beat Iowa State 41-27. Texas Tech 42-0 shutout over Oklahoma State. Cincinnati now in pole position for that group of five spot in the college football playoff, 41-20 over Baylor. What am I saying? Group of five there in the Big 12 now.
You're good.
Golly, behind the times. Texas comes back to beat Mississippi State in overtime, 45-38. Miami crushes Stanford, 42-7. Texas A&M batters LSU in Death Valley, 49-25. Louisville over BC, 38-24. That's Boston College. Tennessee, 56-34 winners over Kentucky. And finally, the Houston Cougars, 24-16 victors over the 24th-ranked Arizona State Sun Devils.
The Sun Devils are going to fall out of the top 25 with that one, you think?
That they will.
Maybe Houston takes their spot.
Yep, Houston, 7-1 now in the Big 12. If you have a Houston, let's give this hypothetically for the college football playoff. BYU-Houston.
Ooh.
In the Big 12 championship, BYU is undefeated. Mm-hmm. If Houston wins the Big 12 championship, I feel like the committee would try to get BYU out.
Yep.
But how can you keep a 12-1 BYU squad?
They won the Holy War this year.
Out of the college football playoff. There's a scenario where the Big 12 gets two teams in the college football playoff.
And I think
that'd be fun.
In that case scenario, it's well deserved. BYU won that big game against Utah not too long ago. The quick thing that came to my mind when you brought up Minnesota getting absolutely lamb-blasted by the Iowa Hawkeyes today by 38. Wisconsin only lost by 37.
Come on!
There's a scenario. You need a lot to go Wisconsin's way and a lot to go against the Golden Gophers' way, but they are a 5-3 ball club right now. You need six to get bowl eligibility, right, Riley? Here's who they have left. Michigan State, who put up a good fight against Michigan today. Number six, Oregon. Northwestern, that's
that
going to be the tough one. If Northwestern at the baby football field can pull it off, then they roll into the Wisconsin game at 5-6. Wisconsin takes the axe, keeps Minnesota out of bowl eligibility, and we all go home happy.
That would be very satisfying. Hey, the Gophers kept us from playing for a national championship back in, I think that was 94.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the Rose Bowl seasons where they kept us out of the national championship. So return the favor, keep them out of bowl eligibility. We've done that before. Will they probably get either Northwestern or Michigan State? Yes.
Yeah, you
so
need
it
help.
Probably won't matter. They just Badgers at this point get the axe. And I think fans, while the season will be, we did get a little flack on Twitter for phrasing this earlier. Will it be a successful season? No, but. And will the season be, honestly, pretty abject failure going 3-9? Yes. But to have your first Big Ten win since October of last year and your last game of the season, like there's just be so many positives and just some nice feelings heading into the offseason with the X and a win over the Golden Gophers. It'd just be nice.
Yeah, it'd be a good way to bookend the season. You start out 2-0, just throw out the next few games, and then end with a win and get Paul Bunyan's axe back. We're going to do a little doubleheader this segment because I do think there's a few of these to pass around. Riley, we are bringing the helmet stickers out of retirement.
Let's see who earned it.
Jack Cinchy doing it all on this drive for the Badger D.
Melvin Gordon inside the 20. Uses the stiff arm. Hold on. Is he in? It's a Wisconsin touchdown.
Going deep. Down the left sideline. Man's there and got it. In stride. And it's Vinny Anthony. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Time to give out some helmet stickers on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Retirement may have been a bit harsh. Hiatus.
Yeah.
Sabbatical.
I like those. Hiatus and sabbatical are good words.
It has been a bit.
I like that.
All right, let's give them out. So, Riley, if you were watching on the ESPN Wisconsin or ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels, has a helmet that... That tape is doing the Lord's work there.
This helmet is an absolute shambles right now. The face mask coming off. It's a good, very, it's very representative of the season for Wisconsin, the program at present, just hanging on by a thread, baby. Maybe representative of Luke Fickle's tenure here, just hanging on. Just hanging on.
Cooper Cat.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's...
Symbolic in nature.
Yeah.
So we're just going to simply give these out. It is our rendition here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day's postgame show of the game ball, or who takes home the player of the game. I'm giving out multiple here, Riley. I'm
going to start with... Generous man.
Yeah. Mason Reiger, Oregon, covers the onside kick to start the game. Lanning throws the first punch, and Reiger gets home to force a turnover on downs and hand the football off to the offense, who would score their first touchdown of the game three quarters later. Good job, Reiger!
Let's go! You can't see it on the YouTube stream, kind of defeats the purpose, but you'd have to reach all the way across, or... I just have to toss it.
We had to do the exchange in the blind spot.
Exactly. Not ideal. What we're doing. Let's see. Today they're just a black blotch. As you can see, not many stickers given out throughout this season.
I thought Vinny Anthony did well, too, specifically. There was a great play halfway through the second quarter in punt coverage where he downed the ball inside the two. Used him as some pre-snap motion eye candy. Had him flying around. You could see the members of the secondary for Oregon kind of following him around even if he didn't have the ball. I thought Vinny Anthony quietly had a nice game today even if he didn't have the home run play we were looking for.
Rip my sticker in half. There we go. On for Vinny Anthony. Congratulations.
Who did you have today?
I will also give out a couple, starting with Gideon Atuka.
Yeah, that's a good one.
85 yards on 21 carries today. He was so close to hitting that 20-yard rush mark for a running back. The Badgers still looking for their first 20-plus yard rush from a running back this season. Very close today. And still looking for their first 100-yard rusher since Tui Walker. Last season against Northwestern, was really hoping Atuka would get the job done. Couldn't do it, but nonetheless, fantastic effort, fantastic performance today from the redshirt freshman running back, Gideon Atuka. So he gets a helmet sticker from me. Put that down there. And last but certainly not least, Eugene Hilton Jr. Didn't play much today, but had the big reception. Excellent work of coming back to the football on the underthrown pass. Hunter Simmons under duress makes the catch. I think he should have been awarded a touchdown, but just another bright young star for this Badgers squad, hopefully in the future. Not a lot, obviously, positive this season, but man, there really is some young talent, which is good and a breath of fresh air to see.
And I agree. I think he broke the play, and it was close. We don't score. We probably don't score that touchdown if not for him. It was a 42-yard gain, and this team was not exactly getting gains in bunches. Atuka had an 18-yard rush. That is now the new longest rush of the season by a Wisconsin running back. I say that because Tretch had a long one against MTSU. The punter, West, had a 20-yard rush on the fake.
Still has a longer rush than any running back this season.
We're
for the Badges.
18's the new
Almost.
Season high.
They're getting there, getting close.
Those are your helmet stickers for today. Awesome stuff. Thank you for donating half of yours to mine. I should have just ripped mine in half.
It's okay.
Good stuff. We're dressing it up.
Filling it up, kind of. Just a little bit.
Great opportunity for a lot of you. In 2 weeks, when Wisconsin's back at home, after the bye week, all refreshed, you will be too, because our friends at Liberty Station are running a game day shuttle program during home games this football season for just $20. Get a Coors Light and a round-trip ride to Camp Randall. It all starts at Liberty Station American Tavern and Smokehouse, located off the Beltline on Rimrock Road. Final thoughts, looking ahead to the bye, and then Washington when we come back. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
I got some good friends that live down the street. Got a good-looking woman with her arms around me. Live in a small
A lot of good to take away from today relative 2 weeks past. Still plenty to fix. Reacting live to the 21-7 defeat Oregon takes down Wisconsin in Eugene on Grateful Dead night. Still love those jerseys. Not going to lie to you. We are reporting to you live from the Starion Bank broadcast booth. Experience a banking relationship where your goals are their priority. As a community bank with a commitment to Dade County, Starion Bank redefines local banking in the Madison area. Visit one of their convenient branches in Middleton, Sun Prairie, or Monona today, or online at starionbank.com. Corey Sparks, Riley Yauch, and Owen Dimple here with you at the Everlight Solar Studios on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison Milwaukee YouTube channels, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. This is our final thoughts segment, more or less looking ahead. First, it's an off week. Then it's Washington on November 8th at home. Riley, you were just saying in the break, more positives today than we've had in a long while, if we're being honest with ourselves here.
Yes, I loved going back to the very first thing you said, bringing us into the show today. Absolutely loved the energy and the passion that the team played with, especially the defense, right out of the gate. You have the onside kick sprung on you. You don't flinch. You bounce back. You force the turnover on downs. The young talent on this team shined very, very brightly today, which I think gives you that glimmer of hope if you are a Luke Fickell supporter and you wanted something to stand on, something to hang your hat on. It's that young talent. It looks like there is the makings of a young nucleus here. And that is very, very fun to see. And I think now it's pretty obvious what the biggest issue for this team is. And it's still, unfortunately, the quarterback position. The most important position on the field is still the biggest issue for Wisconsin. But at least now, if this team continues to play this hard for Coach Fickell and the defense continues to play that well, Oregon's only been held under 30 points twice this season.
Yep.
By Indiana and Wisconsin. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Good poll, my friend.
So look at that. Shout out Connor Whelan on Twitter. I just saw that during the break.
There you go.
But if they continue to play that well and they continue to play that hard, these current guys, the players who are on the field today, I think a lot of the players who are injured today, they might be making business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a guarantee. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, we'll slap it allegedly on it, but
yes,
I see what you're saying.
But it has that feeling to it. The guys who played today, they want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And if they continue to play like that, I think there's some hope for the future, which is more than we can say after last week.
This is going to sound weird, Riley, but I think it's a positive that you can actually pinpoint what the problem with this
clarity.
Team is.
Clarity is a very important thing.
And it's something we didn't have a few weeks ago after the 24-10, or the loss in general to Maryland. It's something we didn't really have after the blowout loss 37-0 against Iowa. You and I were sitting here going, what is wrong? Where is the disconnect? Why are they not out there performing in some of the biggest? The Iowa was one of the biggest games of the year, the whole 42 push-ups thing that drove the entire offseason program. Now you can pinpoint not only the main issue right now in the quarterback situation, the quarterback depth situation. Shout out to Jason Wilde for bringing that up on X, that maybe the NIL fund should be a little more dedicated and the scouting effort should be a little more honed in on nailing QB depth given what's happened the last couple of years. But Riley, the first thing you pointed out before talking about the issue of quarterback is we actually have something to look forward to in that young nucleus, the Mason Posas of the world, the Cooper Catalanos of the world, the backfield today. Atuka had an awesome game. Mm-hmm. The offensive line, even when it was a hodgepodge group, was able to hold their own against the number six team in the country. The fact we're actually able to grab definitives and go, that is a driving point that we can carry forward to next week, to next month, to the offseason, to next season, which I don't want to look too far ahead, but the schedule looks a lot more gettable. And that might be one of the arguments towards the question that we threw in the ESPN Madison YouTube channel live chat. It was, did this game change how you feel about Wisconsin firing Luke Fickell? 43% said yes, give him another shot. 57% said no. I bet if we put that out a couple of weeks ago, it's a lot closer to 80-20, 90-10 range.
Yeah. Last week, I think you're full 90-10, if not close to 100-0.
Yeah.
After that Ohio State game, the Iowa debacle, the Maryland atrocity, there are so many bad performances. And has Luke Fickell had a lot more bad moments this season than good? Yes. But ultimately, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Mm-hmm.
So if Fickell and the Badgers can have a strong final push to the finish line, maybe steal a win against a Washington, Illinois. I don't think they're stealing one against Indiana. But you steal
Illinois's
one.
Trending in an interesting
exactly.
direction.
Yeah. They're not a juggernaut. That's mm-hmm. for sure. Washington's going to be very tough as well. Desmond Williams Jr., their quarterback, threw for four touchdowns today against the Illini. It's going to be tough. But you steal one against a Washington, Illinois, you beat Minnesota, and there seems to be positive momentum, that would be a different feeling than what we had the past two seasons under Luke Fickell. There was no positive momentum. In season number one, there was all the hype, the pomp and circumstance surrounding the hire.
We got the big hire.
And it was lackluster. Yep. And you almost pull off a big win against LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Doesn't pan out. So everyone's kind of feeling like, okay, that was disappointing, but maybe. And then last year seems to be trending down after the season. Miss a bowl game, end the streak, everyone's freaking out. This year, obviously, a very, very brutal first eight games, 2-6. But there's a chance to turn the tides still. And that, I think, would change not everyone, but it would change a significant portion of the fan base's viewpoint, I think.
It's probably not the best argument for me to make here to defend Fickell, but could you imagine if they, let's say they steal a game against an Illinois and then they get the axe back? You just go, wow, after all of that, we were only one game worse than last year.
Yeah, like, exactly.
But the main point being, you finished strong. Last year, they limped to the finish. They were 5-2 and lost the final five games. You want that taste in the mouth of fans to be a little better than it was last year after they lost, again, in the rivalry game for Paul Bunyan's axe. So if you can finish strong, I think even going 3-9, like you said, the season as a whole wouldn't be successful, but you'd finish on a higher note. That's good. So there is an off week, and then it's Washington on November 8th. That is not as winnable of a game as I would have thought it was, say, 9 weeks ago. So what say you? Yeah, same idea.
No, I think they're going to lose against Washington. It will be very tough. I don't think Camp Randall, because I believe it's at home, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, home away. Going to be at home. I don't think Camp Randall is going to be all that raucous. I think the bye week fans, again, like, at this point, a lot of fans are already pretty apathetic, pretty checked out. It's going to be a very difficult game to win. Washington is the better team. However, again, I think there is a way out, and there's something to be said for patience.
Yeah.
And if Badgers fans can be patient, I don't think there's so many things, and we've talked about it ad nauseum this season, that Luke Fickell has done wrong. And he's made so many mistakes with how he's approached everything off the field, donors, in-state recruiting, alumni, et cetera, on-the-field decisions. A lot of people are getting mad at him for being conservative again at halftime.
Yep.
But if you get some positive momentum, it seems like they're going to stick with Fickell. There's a chance that – slim chance – that this could end up working out, this gamble – that the university is taking on Luke Fickell could pay off. We'll see. I don't think it's going to help against Washington. Yeah. I don't think that's going to affect anything. I think the Huskies will probably roll, or it'll be a game similar to this.
Yeah.
But you have a bye week to recalibrate, hopefully get a few more guys healthy, and you go from there. Try to finish the season strong. You have that a good final kick
I like it. Before we sign off for tonight, Riley, not who do you want to be QB1, but who do you think in your heart of hearts will be QB1 against Washington 2 weeks from today at home? We don't have a kickoff time yet. We will find that out in the next week.
I think in my heart of hearts, I want it to be Danny O'Neill.
Yep.
I think it will be Hunter Simmons.
Okay.
I think whatever he's doing at practice is clearly winning him that starting job over Danny O'Neill. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're seeing that's different, or it's just the lesser of two evils seems to be the most likely case. But I think Hunter Simmons will be starting against the Washington Huskies.
Do you believe Carter Smith will still be the third option in that room at that point?
Yes. But I would not be shocked.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised if they play him against
I want it fresh off the bye week at home.
I know.
I really do.
I know. I want it too.
Yeah.
I don't see it happen. I think they're going to stick with Hunter Simmons. I'd love to see Carter Smith. I really hope it happens. Yeah. Last four games of the season, I really want to see Carter Smith. I think it's going to be Hunter Simmons.
No, and that's why I asked you, right? Like, what do you think is going to happen? I think you and I both want something similar. It'd be a little exciting to see that the last four games of the year. But that is going to do it for us today. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented to you by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies, cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do, Riley.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Bye week next week, Washington on November 8th at home at Camp Randall. Kickoff details to come in the coming week. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, Brad Nortman, Riley Yauch will have you for the pregame show. Myself, Riley, and Owen Dipfel, who did an amazing job here today, as always, will have you for the postgame show. This has been ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Have a good night.
Peace.